These are somewhat strange days for us, a very different Holy Week than usual. I'm used to wandering around the centre of Stirling here with many other believers, remembering Christ's death on the cross for us. We're very much in lockdown this year though, stuck at home, except for that odd trip to the supermarket for our essentials, our daily exercise around the block. For some, that means more time on our hands. For others, for many of us, most of us, means a lot more time around the house. My wife, Morag, isn't working at the moment due to these circumstances, so she decided she needed something to do to occupy her time. She borrowed three jigsaws from a friend in the church and started one very complex 1,000-piece jigsaw last week. My daughter and I joined in at various points. It's been over 15 years since we did a jigsaw together when the kids were much younger. I forgot how frustrating they could actually be. A good start, but then a struggle. A sudden burst of a few pieces fitting together, and then the hard slog to get it, others to fit in and to finish it. And then late one night, the three of us got to the final little last section together, and then we leaned back as that final piece was pushed into place. It is done. It's finished. Both joy and, I have to say, a great sense of relief at that moment in time. And we all know that feeling of finishing something, of accomplishing something. Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished," on the cross. It's a translation of a Greek word, tetelestai, and it's in the perfect tense, which means something that took place in the past, which has present abiding results. It could be translated a different way. It stands finished and always will be finished. In other words, Jesus says, it's done. This was a common word, tetelestai, back in the society of Jesus' day. It was used by a slave who had completed an assignment given to him by his master, and he would report back, "It is finished." It was used of an artist who had completed work on a painting, and she would step back and say, "It is finished." It was used by a merchant who had sold merchandise on credit when the bill had been paid in full, and he would write in his ledger book, "Tetelestai, it is finished." A word of accomplishment, achievement, completion. Many over the years have looked at those words of Jesus, "It is finished," and they've thought that it's been something like a cry of defeat. But this is anything but a cry of defeat. It's a cry of completion, of accomplishment, of victory. What was finished? Was it that Holy Week was over? This week began with crowds receiving Jesus and welcoming him into the city with the joyful cries of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. It's been an interesting week. Tables have been turned. Fig tree has been withered. Expensive perfume poured out. Feet washed. A new memorial meal began. Betrayal, denial, arrest, unfair trial there, and a flogging. A week that began with joyful anticipation ends with sadness and confusion. A week that began with some receiving Jesus ends with others rejecting him. Was that it finished? Holy Week was ended. But actually, still today, some are receiving Jesus and others are still rejecting him today. What was finished? Was his life? If that's all that Jesus meant, then this is a pathetic yet very human cry of weakness and defeat. It is finished. It's all over now. The suffering, the pain, the scorn. Death will carry me away. There'll be no more burdens, no more pain, no more torment. What was finished? His life. To be sure, but so much more as well. His work as Redeemer was finished. No more sacrifice for sins would be necessary. Never again would he be whipped and scorned, mocked and jeered. Never again would he experience the curse of the cross. Never again would God forsake him. Jesus wasn't saying, "I'm finished," as if the struggles of earthly life were over, but rather, "It is finished. The work I came to do is over. My mission is accomplished. God's plan is completed. What is finished?" Can I suggest three things? The pain of redemption is finished. The death that Jesus died on the cross was absolute torture. We cannot begin to imagine the pain that he endured for us. I know it's early in the morning, but it was early in the morning for Jesus. So let me remind us of what we glean from the scriptures of his crucifixion. Luke tells us he was beaten and mocked. Matthew, that he was flogged and spat upon before being mocked and later stripped naked, at least down to his undergarments, which is as well as being naked in the culture of that day. Mark tells us he was mocked, a crown of thorns pushed on his head, struck on the head and spat upon. John, that he was flogged, that crown of thorns pushed down and mocked and struck in the face. And if you head back to the prophets, Isaiah said that his beard would be plucked. Can you imagine the pain of that? And to end it all, they tell us that he was nailed to a cross, crucified, hung there to die, alone, abandoned, asphyxiating, pain, physical pain. But there was a greater pain for him as he suffered on the cross. He felt the judgment that came from his Father. Matthew tells us that he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. When Jesus was on that cross, he literally became the sin of the world. He took the punishment which was ours for sin. He died that we might live. The pain, which leads on to the second thing, the plan of redemption is finished. When Jesus reached the end of his ministry on the cross, he was finishing a work that had begun before the world ever was formed. Revelation 13:8 says, "To the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world." From the beginning of time, God had always planned to send his Son to die for sinners. That was the promise to Adam in Genesis 3:15. This was portrayed in the offerings and sacrifices of the tabernacle and the temple. Everything God did pointed to this day when Jesus would lay down his life on the cross. Jesus came to earth for a plan and for a purpose. He said to Pilate in chapter 18, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus came to show us that there is only one way, one truth, one life. Jesus came to bring us life and life in all its fullness. Jesus came to shine light into darkness, to reveal sin and to point to a Savior. Jesus came to offer himself, the perfect Lamb of God, as the ultimate sacrifice for sin in his death. Jesus brought us redemption, reconciliation with the Father. And lastly, not just the pain, not just the plan, but the payment of redemption is finished. And I want to take us back to the meaning, the use of that word, tetelestai, back then. It was also a tax collector's word, which was written on the papyri receipts for taxes, and it meant paid in full. When Jesus gave himself on the cross, he met the righteous demands of the holy law. He paid our debt in full. None of the Old Testament sacrifices could take away their sins. Their blood only covered sin. But the Lamb of God shed his blood, and that blood can take away the sin of the world. Our debt is paid in full. Jesus' redemptive work is finished. It's accomplished. And when Jesus made this cry, he was telling us that the price had been paid. Salvation had been finished. That God was satisfied with the price that had been paid. And after Jesus uttered this cry, he died and was taken down from the cross and buried. Please understand that when Jesus went to the cross, it was absolutely necessary for him to die. If he hadn't died on the cross, sin would never have been paid for. After all, the wages of sin was, is, and will ever be death, as Romans 6:23 tells us. People think the cross is bloody, and they are right, but you cannot be saved without faith in the shed blood of Jesus. You know, there was once a rather eccentric evangelist named Alexander Wooten. He was approached by a flippant young man who asked, "What must I do to be saved?" "It's too late," Wooten replied to him, and went back about his work. The young man became alarmed. "Do you mean that it's too late for me to be saved?" he asked. "Is there nothing I can do?" "Too late," said Wooten. "It's already been done. The only thing you can do is believe." Wooten understood that phrase, tetelestai, it is finished. There is nothing that we can do except to come in faith, to trust in Jesus and all he has accomplished for us. What was and is finished. When Jesus said it is finished, it means the price has been paid, the debt has been cancelled, sin is atoned for, Satan is defeated, salvation is secure, and that is just incredible. What a victory. And only Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, could take away the sin of the world. What a Savior. And so, friend, have you come in faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Have you turned from your sin and crowned Jesus as Lord of your life? Have you accepted that it is finished, that your sin is atoned for, Satan is defeated, and your salvation is secure? If so, then let's come in praise and thanksgiving today for all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And if not, then this is a time to do that, to bend the knee, to confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible assures us that if we do that, then we will be saved. Friend, in your home this morning, on your own, where you are, I wonder if this is the day for you to confess your sin and crown Christ as Lord. If you do that today, can I encourage you to email in David here at SBC so that we can pray for you, so that we can send you a Bible and some material to help you build on that foundation and to grow in your faith. This morning, this Good Friday morning, when we remember Christ's death on the cross, let's take a moment just to ponder the enormity of that one word in Greek, those three words in English. And then in faith to come and thank him for all that he has done. Tetelestai. It is finished. Amen.